Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
And welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us yet again. I want you to know that this month, during Black History Month, we will focus intentionally on key historic events that can be used as an instructional basis for turning the hearts and minds of wayward young men around in the most positive of ways. So join us tonight as we engage in another historical dialogue. We're talking tonight the topic from the fight over slavery to the fight in urban streets. And we're looking at historical case study that will help us kind of understand what's going on and why, particularly, the motivations for Black men wanting to fight in America in particular. All right? The number to give us a call here is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. We welcome you to call and join us. If you're listening for the first time, we have a monologue. I'll do a monologue to give us some context for our conversation tonight. And we have our regular panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller. And I see we have a call in queue, 3072, who's been with us. We're grateful for her joining us. And Pastor Waller, they're going to chime in. But more importantly, you can join us tonight. All we ask is that you keep your conversation relative to our topic and to be respectful of our callers that may call in. This is an open dialogue, open mic discussion. Again, this is Talk Straight. This is Reverend Dockery. We're talking from the thought tonight, from the fight over slavery to the fight in urban streets. All right. Having said that, we're going to go ahead and move into our monologue and invite you again to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. That's live right here on the air tonight. Okay. From the fight over slavery to the fight in urban streets. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter in the eighth verse reads, "A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace." We'll begin talking about the motivation for Negro, Black, African-American men to fight in the Revolutionary War. In 1775, General George Washington made a decree that no black or Negro, free or enslaved, could be recruited to fight in the Revolutionary War. As a Virginian and a slave owner himself, General Washington was reacting to his Southern brothers' fears that, as farmers, if we allow blacks to take up arms, we may experience a slave rebellion. Additionally, many soldiers expressed disdain for the mere notion that individuals they have treated and perceived to be inferior to them for a long period of time would be able to fight right next to them as soldiers. So a deal was struck. Those free blacks who were serving in the northern regiments already, most of which first fought in militias, would be able to finish their terms of service. Then Washington would have an all-white army. But fate has a way of changing things. That plan didn't last very long. You see, because the realities for the war and the militaries that were engaged in the Revolutionary War, particularly Washington's army, forced him to reverse his course and would force him to have blacks to fight on both sides against the British and in the Continental Army. Everything from the drastic shortage of soldiers to the differing interests in the colonial economies, basically, affected which side these black men would fight on. The most important factor, though, for black men was the fight to be free from slavery in America, in colonial America at that time. Now, both armies, the British Army and Washington's Army, his colonial army, they had problems with manpower, okay? And it affected their calculations. In fact, in November of 1775, Lord Dunmore, who was representing the British Army, he was the colonial governor of Virginia, sent over by the British. He issued his own decree. And his decree said simply that, listen, if Negroes will come fight for the British, they had French Africans fighting for the British already, but if Negroes who were enslaved in America will come fight for the British, we will guarantee freedom when this war is over with. You'll be a free man if you fight for His Majesty's troops. Well, that sounds good to a lot of folk. That made Washington have to change his whole course. All of a sudden now, come on, y'all. Y'all help us out now. We're trying to become free as a nation and overcome the British. We need y'all help now. We need you. And sure enough, those men joined the Revolutionary Army and fought. Now, when it comes to historically the Civil War in the United States of America and black men's involvement, yet again, slavery was at the forefront of thought. The 54th Regiment, Massachusetts, a volunteer infantry, was an infantry regiment that saw extensive service in the Union Army. All of this during the Civil War. The unit was the first Negro regiment organized in the northern states during the Civil War. You'll notice that it was the North that first provided opportunities both in the Revolutionary War as well as in the Civil War, because the southern states were all about making money through slavery. Now, this bringing these Negroes into the army in the Civil War was authorized by President Lincoln's 1863 Proclamation of Proclamation. And the regiment consisted of Negro enlisted men who were commanded by white officers. The unit began around February of 1863, and they trained at Camp Meigs outside of Boston. Prominent abolitionists were active in recruiting these men, many of which that ran from the South for freedom up north, and many were already free, and they said, we want to help end slavery. Okay? Some of the prominent abolitionists were people like Frederick Douglass, and he was so serious about it that he allowed his two sons to enlist in the 54th Massachusetts. For the North, hey, we want to preserve the Union of the United States. That's our primary goal. For the South, we want to maintain our economic institution of slavery. But for the Negro, we want to be free. And we're willing to fight to the death for such a freedom. In fact, it was the 54th Massachusetts who won a decisive victory. And I believe it was Fort Sumter, Charleston, South Carolina. And they were able to open up a major way that allowed other forces to come in and overtake this major fort that was built that was decimating the northern forces by the Confederacy. All right? But these men placed their lives on the line, and let there be no mistake about it. They did it for freedom. That's why they fought, right? Now, let's fast forward. We talk about 1775. We talk about 1863. Let's fast forward to 2018. And talk about street fights. What's the motivation for fighting in the streets? Young brothers killing one another. Okay? And more importantly, tonight we're going to talk about what can we do about that? How can we fix that as a problem? All right? Gangs in the United States include several types of groups. National street gangs, local street gangs, prison gangs, motorcycle clubs, and even ethnic and organized crime gangs. Approximately 1.4 million people were part of gangs as of 2011, and more than 33,000 gangs were active in the United States. Many American gangs began, we talked about this previously on another show, and still exist in urban areas. Now, there's a reason for that, and I'm going to call it ghetto trap syndrome. We talked about what the ghetto trap syndrome and those socioeconomic conditions that force people to be limited to resource and opportunity and force them to behave in such a manner that is destructive and self-inflictive. Okay? In many cases, national street gangs originated in these major cities such as New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Philadelphia, Miami, and they later migrated to other parts of the country. American gangs are responsible for an average of 48% of violent crimes in most city jurisdictions and up to 90% of violent crimes in other types of jurisdictions. According to the Federal Bureau of Investigation's Uniform Crime Report, now what this is the aggregation of data sent in from local police departments of incidents that they were called to, particularly violent incidents. Okay? According to this Uniform Crime Report, 50% of all homicides in the United States involved African Americans. And over 90% of those cases were related to black-on-black crime. If you dig a little deeper, you'll find that many of them were related to some sort of gang violence. Question is, what's making these young men kill and destroy themselves? They were fighting for freedom in two major American wars. But today they're killing themselves over little nothing, doping, gambling, sometimes friends go to the same schools, grow up in the same neighborhoods. knew people all their life. Mamas knew each other. They're killing one another. Now, the issue is that these young men oftentimes grew up without a father in the home. They grew up with challenged family circumstances, and they don't have a sense of purpose and direction. And in their minds, I gotta kill or be killed. I might not make it if I don't demonstrate how ruthless and violent I can be. It's a sad state of affairs, but the question is, how can we turn their thinking around? I want you to bear with me for a second as we listen to Edwin Starr. He had a song that was entitled very simply, War. What is it good for? Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. The phone lines are open, 657-383-0944. War, what is it good for? Sometimes it's useful. We read in the text that there's a time for it at some time, but today is certainly absolutely nothing. Pastor Ricky Waller, welcome, sir. How are you?
All right. How you doing, Pastor Dockery?
Mighty fine, mighty fine. And we got 3072. How you doing, lovely?
Wonderful, wonderful.
All right.
So I'm going to start with you, 3072. Pastor, I'm going to come right back to you. Where did I go wrong in my monologue, 3072?
What did you say?
Where did I go wrong in my monologue?
I mean, I don't think you went wrong anywhere. I mean, you were stating the facts, and certainly today we're living in some, I think, worse times even than when slavery and all that exists, because at least then they were fighting for a cause, for a legitimate cause. You know, there are some times where in life you have to fight. While a lot of this other stuff that's going on is just senseless. It's senseless.
Pastor, where was the ball drop, proverbial ball drop, Pastor, when it comes to getting young guys to understand you're killing one another and for no reason at all? You understand what I'm saying, Pastor?
Oh, yeah.
Where do we drop that ball, passing that message, Pastor?
Well, you know, I'm a student, you know, and I'm willing to learn myself. What I really realize within myself, and when you ask where do we drop the ball, you know, because
I'm saying I'm in that too. I'm in that, Pastor. I'm in that too.
Yeah. Each generation should be able to pass down something to the next generation. So what are we passing down? And in doing so, you know, we have a tendency to follow what others do a lot of times.
Mm. Right.
And for the most part, it's happening. You know, and I'm watching it even in the realm of sports and things like that. It's a certain way that they go up doing what they're doing now. And see, the team is trying to follow what the other team is doing. And to me, that's a form of self-destruction in many ways. And that's why he's teaching many things that the guys are doing and the people that are doing in the streets. You know, the people, they have grabbed a hold to a style and they adopted it. And suddenly what they are doing, they are becoming what they see, hear, and feel.
Wow.
And it's sad to say, but that's just the way it is when you're ignorant and don't know any better. And if you try to tell a person that they're ignorant, you know, they may get upset at you for saying something like that. You know, the word of God would say, let them be ignorant. If they want to be ignorant, let them be ignorant. And, you know, just so happens it's in the Bible, but most people don't know that it's in the Bible. So, you know, we don't, as young people that step out into the real world, we don't pick up a Bible and try to find out what the solution is to a problem that had not even occurred yet. And once the problem takes place and one is captured, you know, the last thing on a person's mind is a Bible. You know, matter of fact, it's probably not even on their mind. You spoke about gangs and doing harm to each other and things like that. And, of course, you know, there is a time that you must fight, and as 3072 was saying, you know, but for a cause. But what we're doing now is it lines up with self-destruction now. And I'm going to turn this back over to you, but I want you to know that it's planned out. You know, it's,
talk to me about
it. In order for it to take place, it has to be well planned out, and self-destruction is a way of life. And if I don't have to shoot you, I can just make sure you got what you need to shoot yourself.
Come on. Say that again.
You know, if I don't have to shoot you, I just have to make sure I have something for you.
Save
so you
your
can
bullets.
Make sure.
You can save your bullets, huh?
I mean, you can make sure as long as I got you what you need to shoot each other. And you say they kin people, right? They most of them, they're knowing each other and things like that. So if
all
I gun you down, I'm gunning myself down when I gun you down. And that's what self-destruction is, man. I tell you, it's a sad case, but it's happening. And most people that I found out not long ago, man, I mean, a lot of people glorifying watching the news to see how many more killings have taken place. I think it's sad, man. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Very sad.
You know, Pastor, I was kind of guilty of what you're saying. Because I used to work, I was a supervisor in a youth detention facility, and I used to collect newspaper clippings of young men that I knew or supervised there who were deceased. And at some point, it just became outright depressing. I had to stop doing it. But your point is well taken. Sometimes your mind gets twisted, man. I think it can anyway, when you just see it over and over and over and over again. You know what I mean?
Sure. Without a doubt, it happens, and it's going on, man, and it's prevalent today in such a way where it's being glorified. And, you know, you may not think that it's being glorified, but, man, when I say it's being glorified, that's an understatement. That really is. That's an understatement.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, look at the movies. What are they based on? Look at the Grand Theft Auto, the games that are put in front of young children. What are they based on? It's based on the violence and the social demise of a subgroup of people in particular.
Sure.
You know?
Most definitely.
Let's look on where the squeak is.
So we dive up into the solution, man, and I just still believe that because there is a solution, I believe that it's going to be straightened out. Just so much that's going on up until now that to make it seem like there's no make it seem like there's no way and things like that. But had I not seen it off into the Word of God, I would be in agreement with that. But just because I found out in there about being free, you know, that's a beautiful thing. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, what John 8:32 says, and you should know the truth now. And the truth shall make it's not to make you free, but if you don't know the truth, it's the only way we will not get free from it. But once we tap into the truth and take it to where it belongs, which are hurting people out in the world, lost without God in their life, you know, those are the people that deserve, that qualify, that definitely they need some information like that. And believe me, most other people are not going to reject it. The only way you are going to find out is. Say that again?
They'll be happy to get it, huh?
Sure, man. I mean, you know, it's better to have it than to need it, than to need it and don't have it. I mean, it's like the man came out search you said something to me, whether I did something with it at that time or not, at least you brought it to me, you know. And I don't think the people have to wait as long as some of us had to wait to apply it.
Let me invite some that I think are following us on our Facebook feed. Brother Prince, welcome. Give us a call here. We're glad to have you. Miss Finney, Brother Bryant, Brother Smitty, give us a holler here. We're grateful that you're tuned. Miss Holt, feel free to, the number is 657-383-0944. All it takes is for you to give us a shout here. Give us a call. Give us your thoughts. We want to entertain your thoughts and your questions or comments as we go through our topic tonight. And again, as Pastor was talking about in 37-2, coming right to you, 37-2, we're talking from the topic tonight, from the fight over slavery to the fight in urban streets. And we just, in our monologue, laid out how historically, see, this is a historical lesson and dialogue, historically the 54th Regiment Massachusetts fought to make sure that people got out of slavery, okay, particularly black folk. And when slavery was going on in 1775, black men decided we're going to fight if America will give us a play, set us free. Guess what? It still didn't happen after 1775. In fact, George Washington, the record shows, didn't really want to set them free. And can I tell y'all something? Abraham Lincoln wasn't really crazy about the whole idea. He just was trying to preserve the Union. And Washington was trying to win the Revolutionary War. But black men were trying to win their freedom. Today, though, black boys are killing one another and fighting over nothing. I wouldn't say it's over nothing. That's part of the solution. See, they're fighting out of ignorance, and they've been socially engineered to self-destruct. And I'm going to describe that in just a minute. Look like we got my good friend 0405 come to you in just a second. Let me give 3072 a chance to come in. You've been following our conversation here, 3072. You give us a call here, listeners, at 657-383-0944. Go ahead, 3072. Talk to me.
Well, you mentioned about the young guys, and some of them are not so young, but what's even more scary is the women are partaking in this violence now and taking of life. They're in support of these children / men that they follow, you know, and look up to when really they're looking down. So it's just a terrible, terrible thing. And I mean, as a solution, what can be done? Anybody's ear that you can grab in conversation, anybody's eye that you could get that's watching you, we have to just be the example. I mean, and spread, like Pastor Waller was saying, the good news of freedom. There is freedom. It's a beautiful thing to be and feel free.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm going to offer solutions tonight before we get off the air. 0405, how you doing? Welcome to Talk Straight.
I'm blessed and highly favored.
Watch out now.
I was in the midst of studying, but someone said, let me call in because I forget tonight is Thursday. I got so much going on and so much I'm doing, but I thank God I can call in on a Tuesday and a Tuesday morning. And I just so happened to miss Tuesday, but I thank God for Thursday because it helped me catch back up. I just want to say that it's a lot of controversy going on in the world, and people are missing a lot of things. They fail to realize that a lot of stars and celebrities and a lot of people that they are considering as idols and they whatever you call it to enhance their growth and their mentality is really a setup from the enemy. The enemy has set up a lot of things in this world to deceive us, and I am so thankful that God have gave me the opportunity to do a lot of researching, a lot of studying, and a lot of time, because it's a lot of things going on that we still don't realize. It's getting ready to get worse before it get worse. You know, such as the wars just happened, and a lot of, they call it a cult, or they call it a ritual, or whatever they call it. It just took place, and they also laying all the signs and symbols down. And people don't realize that even from down to a guy that was in the gospel group, Quincy Jones, he began to talk about things that happened in the industry, but he ain't never said nothing, but now he's just saying something. And then they began to say things about the president, which was unprofessional, but still, at the same time, I just felt like we living in our last days, and we really are not paying attention to, like, what's going on. And I feel like that we are not, like, really, I feel like we're not up on a lot of intelligence like we should be, because we're too busy worrying about. Because if you turn on the TV, every time you turn around, it's always something. If it ain't the mayor, you know, in her whorish ways or whatever you want to call it, her Jezebel's ways or whatever you want to call it, it's always something. And it's more black people down at each other than it is anything. And I just really, really am, like, against all of that, because what can we do as black people? Lift one another up, help one another, try to unite, try to get each other close to God's love that he has for us, more than, you know, saying anything about this and that and another or whatever the case may be. But try to help one another and try to give each other our eyesight in a more, you know, open ear and help each other instead of, you know, downing each other because of the loss or whatever. I don't know what the subject or the case study is.
Let me reiterate it. Tonight we're talking about from the fight over slavery, talking about black men in America historically. This is a historical dialogue. They fought to get out of slavery twice, in the Revolutionary War and in the Civil War. But today in 2018, too many young guys, they take up arms, but it's only against one another, and it leads to self-destruction. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Hold on one second. And before we leave tonight, I'm going to ensure that our listening audience understand how we can turn it around. Now, I said we, not just me. I said we. What can you do to turn that around? I'm going to offer you a solution. Go ahead, 0405.
No matter what, if you really think about it, we just got to really just acknowledge that the money is the root to all evil. I know a lot of us may be in poverty, but let's just stick with our poverty and do what we got to do, because, first of all, it's called mental illness, and it's great. And that's our biggest struggle right there within ourselves. It's called manipulation. That's where they manipulated us, because they knew we had dysfunctional in our family. That's what black culture is always. So that's what it's about. First of all, I'm going to tell you how the ups came on us. It came on us because of the black dysfunctional. The blacks always been dysfunctional, because you know why? We don't ever love our sisters and our brothers and stuff like we say we do. We use our mental illness. We use their mental illness and their weaknesses to get them down. You know, that's the reason why things are the way they are in the world today with all of us. That's the reason why we can't get on one accord. And the white man know that. No offense. Because I love my white men. You know, I'm not racist whatsoever, because God didn't teach me to be that way. But this is just the way the world is, because he already know. The enemy already know what's in store and what's going on.
Okay.
Trust me.
Okay.
That's why he what he do.
All right. I take your point. And I want to, if I can, if you allow me to, I'd like to go a little bit closer to the conversation about this real, the nature of, and I hear what you're saying. You're saying that the enemy has set a trap, and that we are not really showing love and respect and admiration for one another. And you brought the white man in there a little bit. Now, I would say this, though. I would say this. We have seen historically, this is Black History Month, and again, let me reiterate that this month we're focusing on lessons that can be useful, and specifically, I'm intentionally trying to focus on lessons for a population of people that are most at risk, okay? And 3072 brought out the fact that not only little boys or young males, young men, but young girls now becoming most violent and vicious, trying to emulate those young men. And even whites are saying, as evidenced by Dylan Roof in North Carolina, South Carolina, we want attention too, because the media is giving attention to this self-destruction. And the truth of the matter, I know Pastor Waller and I, we worked together to some degree, and we saw it face-to-face on the streets. And the truth of the matter is, there are people who are prisoners or enslaved to poverty and ignorance, and it calls them to do some of the most desperate and destructive things. Now, and that's where the solution is, Pastor. The solution begins with identifying the root cause and the nature of the poverty and the ignorance. Oh, yeah.
And the mental illness. And the mental illness. Because you know why? Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. First of all, we got to accept we as Black people have dysfunctional in our families. I don't care what background. Hold on. Let me finish my statement because I'm serious. I have analyzed a lot of dysfunctional in our families, in every family in the Black community, because why? We have somebody that's different than some of us. You better realize it's deeper than what we think it is, because we can't, first of all, if we can reverse our ancestors, that's where we will find the root of the problem is. But that, if we can't birth them, we ain't going to find a root of the problem. But if we really dig deep, it's deeper than what you think it is.
Okay. I don't want to go too far, because that's another whole topic by itself in terms of Black dysfunctionality in the family. I appreciate what you're saying, and perhaps that's a conversation we definitely need to have. But tonight I can appreciate what you're saying, and because that is a manifestation of dysfunctionality. The behaviors, the destructive, antisocial, violent behavior is a manifestation, an expression of dysfunctionality. And as I mentioned earlier, it stems out of the broken home. So no doubt about it. Not only are Black folks.
And don't get me wrong. Let me tell you the powerful thing about us. The powerful thing about us. I'm going to say this.
Hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second.
Nicole? Yes, sir.
Hold on 1 second. I'm gonna give you a floor, and then we want to go to 3072. But I'm gonna give you a floor in just a second. I was saying in reference to the dysfunctionality that there are certainly indications of that. Now, what we want to be careful about is making a clinical diagnosis of everybody as being mentally ill. Now there are.
You know what? That's the term.
Hold on 1 second. Stay with me. Okay. Stay with me. Nicole, stay with me. There is a concept of mental illness, and there is a clinical diagnosis and classification. I'm not a clinician, and what I don't want to do is to get into misclassifying or labeling anyone without being able to make a proper diagnosis by a clinician. But I hear what you're saying. It does exist. There are people that have been classified and have been seen by clinicians who have diagnosed them as such and have provided treatment and things of that nature. I don't want to seem as though I'm dismissing the fact that it exists. It does. I do believe that a lot of these antisocial behaviors are expressive of depression, as well as undiagnosed, untreated condition. Go ahead right quickly, 0405, then we're going to go to 3072. Finish your thought right quickly.
Okay, you talking about me, Nicole? Okay,
yes, go ahead, finish your thought right quickly, and then we'll move on.
I want to say it's a reverse psychology. Reverse psychology manipulation. Black people have been manipulated. If you really think about all the laws, all the crookedness, it's manipulation. And we are the ones that will get it done. When I say get it done, I'm talking about you give me these instructions and I'm going to follow them from A, B to Z. And that's what we have in us. We have the authority, the guts, the strength, the power, and we are willing to get the job done. If you tell me to kill or assassinate somebody, that's what we're going to do because we are about what? Surviving. We're about making ends meet. You know, whatever you want to call it. That's what it's about. It don't matter who family you hurt. It don't matter if it's my family. It don't matter if it's my brother, my sister. I don't care nothing about that. If I tell you, I give you some rules and I hire you and I tell you do something, we're going to do it. That's our biggest problem right there. Because we are serious and hard when it comes to making money.
Okay.
When it comes to making money, we need to follow instructions. That's our biggest problem right there.
All right. Nicole, I take your point. I take your point. 3072. Let me go to 3072. 3072, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Go
ahead. Comment there.
Were you going to ask me a specific question?
Well, more, I was going to ask you as a parent and knowing that young men grow up to engage in violent type behaviors. You know, what is your experience in terms of seeing where you can bring them back in? Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, it does. You're speaking as if they've gotten out, they've gotten out of hand, right?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
correct.
So then if it were me and my children, I mean, my youngest is 21, but if I were raising youth again, and that is, man, like, crucial, I would just try to, first of all, disrupt and interrupt whatever little interactions he had going on outside of my home and put him in more positive things, introduce him to, you know, people that maybe is not so violent or that is not so, and I'm not downing it or saying that those that are oppressed are bad and all that. But again, if you have a group of oppressed people, and it's just like the housing projects, why would you put all of that oppression in one area where that's all they know and that's all they see? Maybe if they were spread it out, they can learn, they can see that, hey, there is other ways, there's other things that we can do, there's other avenues to take even. And I would just buddy them up. I would buddy my son up. I would become his girlfriend, pretty much. Every time we had free time, we would spend it together. Or if he had a father, that's who needs to be with him.
Okay. Pastor Wall, what do you think about that?
I think she's hitting real hard right about there, man. 3072 was not playing right about there. She was meeting them right where they were. And in order to bring them, I think she's talking about restoring, you know what I mean, to get a better perspective on things that can be done. And I was able to see, you know, how one is bunched all up doing the same thing. And that's what I was saying earlier about how they adopt a certain way and become that without even knowing. And if you can venture out and can kind of get the gift that's within them, then you can see a better people. That's the beauty of it, you know. And that's why I say that there is hope. It's just such a speed right now and a fast pace, and they're utilizing devices. And once the devices are being utilized, yes, that's what's happening right now. But when we come to ourselves and realize it, you know, I like what the Word of God says about that. He says, unless Satan get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, and right now, you know, most of the generation that's out there rising up one against another don't understand the power of a device. Because
absolutely,
if they did, I see them gather themselves and say, hey, man, look what we're doing to one another. But since they don't
right.
know,
that's right.
of course, you know, they're going to continue to do that until such a time as the solution is hitting the ground, I would say. So the solution has got
to
hit the ground.
Can I just add one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, too, that, and we have to stop turning a deaf ear and a blind eye to negativity by feeling so sorry for the people, you know, that's doing whatever that's not right, because we're sorry for them. We just gonna not acknowledge that that's wrong. I
yeah,
can't say that I'm helping you by pretending that what you're doing is okay. I can't even embrace you then, because it's not safe for me to. If you kill me, then the, excuse me.
Good point, though.
If
go ahead, 37. Go ahead.
No, go
ooh,
ahead.
Go
let
ahead,
Nicole go ahead. Go ahead, Nicole.
No, let
Nicole go ahead. Okay, well, I was going to say that, I mean, if I'm not keeping myself safe, if I'm not preserving me to try to get to other people, you know, you one apple cannot spoil or kill the whole group or the batch, so to speak.
Okay.
So I have to first meet you, I'm meeting you where you are, but I'm
right.
going to be honest in a loving way, and I'm going to be real with you. If I can't
there's
do
not.
That, then I can't help you.
Right.
That's right.
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 All right. All right. Good point. 37, I mean, Nicole, what were you going to say?
What if you've been brainwashed to think whatever you feel like that is necessary not to meet a person where they at? Because we ain't got to understand something. This thing is deeper than what we think it is. It comes from the time when sin first was rebirthed, when first was just done. You know what I'm saying? Sin is sin. No sin is greater than another. No sin. That means, first of all, we have to realize and understand that sin is sin. No sin is greater than another. We all sin every day. We all sin every day. Every day. Pastors, preachers, whatever, prophets, whatever. We sin every day. We just fall short of his glory. So in order to see the young folks for where they are today, and acknowledge them, we have to sometimes get on their level. And when I say get on their level, that don't mean we have to rap or we have to be like they are, but still, we have to get on their level. We have to see, first of all, it's like this. It says in the Bible, how can you be born again? You have to go through your mother's womb. That don't mean you have to go up in your mother's womb again. But you have to be cleansed by the blood. And how you be cleansed by the blood, you have to sacrifice. You have to do some things. You have to really study. You have to really get deep. You have to really miss some lonely days, lonely nights. And if that means S-E-X, that's what you have to do. You know what I'm saying? This thing is deeper than what people think it is. I'm serious. I'm going to go all the way in right now because I really want to see some young folks safe. I'm doing all
okay.
I can right now to break my back to help my grandkids. You know what I'm saying? To see them get somewhere. Because I know I missed my mark. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't going to let my grandkids miss fail. You know, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to sit here and sacrifice everything that I know that I worked hard for. The devil is a lie, and the truth is not in him. I wish I would play them games. I'm not going to sit here and lie about what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to see my grandkids make it. You know what I'm saying?
That's
I think
good.
God
yeah.
my grandkids help me to acknowledge that I messed up. You know what I'm saying? Because God
sure.
gave
well,
me a second chance. You know, I'm really just getting honest because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Some people want to say, oh, you know, I'm okay. You know what? No, I'm not okay. I'm still suffering. I'm still hurting. I'm still in pain. The devil is a lie, and the truth is not in him. He's always trying to fix it up. He's always trying to make me feel like I'm okay, I'm well. No, I'm not good. I'm not satisfied. I'm still hurting. What is you talking about? Why are you still making up all these lies? Why are you still playing with these people's lives? You know what? I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to go there with y'all. Because honest to God, truth, I'm going to keep it real. If you don't like it, you don't like it. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm serious, Pastor. It's a lot of phony, crooked, two-faced, lying, backbiting, devil, twitching ears, telling you what you want to hear, telling you what you feel, what feels good, what's going to get the job done. It's a lot of that going on. I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the truth. The people want the truth.
So, Nicole, you're obviously fired up tonight, and I feel your passion. I do. Now, let's bring it back in for a second, and let's look at the fact that you're absolutely right. One thing about it is I know for myself I've been a black male 3 times. I was born a black male, grew up in the ghettos of America as a black boy, and I still live in America as a black man. So I understand what little shorties are going through. I've been where they're trying to get. I got the T-shirt and the cap. Now, the truth of the matter is, understanding that, I realized that they didn't put themselves there, and oftentimes they don't know even how they got there. Now, Pastor Waller will tell you, having shared a very similar experience, I don't want to speak for you. Go ahead, Pastor. What do you say about that?
You know, it goes back to being restored, Pastor. I still believe that, and I think that is it's appropriate. The Word of God said it very clear. You know, He restores my soul, and I think that right there that qualifies, as I said earlier, that deserves, that are capable of receiving and embracing really some good information. They're waiting, and in doing that, you know, if it's not being brought to them, they won't be able to, because they're not going to walk up into a building, you know, as one may say, there's a lot of churches on every corner. That doesn't mean anything. You know, that church is there for maybe one day or maybe 2 days out of a week for the most part, a lot of times. And these guys are captured 7 days a week, man. And so it's a beautiful thing. And I said, you know, 3072, which she elaborated on how to meet them where they are, and then to spread them out, stir up the gift that's within them. You know, things like that. That's motivating. You know, that's letting them know that it's understandable. You know, how to reach them. And I like the part when it says restore. That means it can be, our community can get back to the way it needs to be, I would say.
Hey.
And look at it by the way it looks, you may think, well, there's no hope. You know, but if you go according to what you have learned, oh man, it's hope, man. It's right there.
True.
We're almost there, even if it don't look like it. You see what I'm saying? That's why the enemy fights so hard to do what he does, man. You know, because he know the answer is so in reach that even young people are getting ready to get it, man. You know,
that's why the enemy. No offense, not trying to cut in your conversation. First of all, what do they say about the enemy? He crafted, he cunning-minded. So, therefore, if he crafted and he cunning-minded, that means he put in a lot of tricks and a lot of baggage and a lot of ancestors stuff and a lot of stuff that we got in reach. All we have to do is just sit back and let the Lord handle the rest if we get up off of our behinds and start to do things. Sitting up praying, putting your hands together, that's a trick of the enemy every time. In your flows, in the flows, talking about, oh, God, you're going to take care of this and that.
Yeah. Hey, Nicole, we got several people in the conversation. And let's try not to step over one. Let Pastor finish his thought, And we're going to transition to the last segment of the show in just a minute. Pastor, go ahead and finish your thought there. What were you saying there?
You know, I was thinking about what happens when you're being restored. It has to do with trust. And when you trust in the Lord, that means that you have a relationship with him, which most, as I said, most of them don't, and it's understandable. And that's why reaching them where they are is so important. And being able to have something to offer one generation, able to pass something down positive to another generation, because other than that, a lot of negative things are being passed down unintentionally, but it's happening. So in order to put trust in the Lord, you know, like some of us have, we have to learn how to understand it's okay to be restored. You know, restore my soul, and he leaded us down the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yes.
What's happening there, once it takes place, you're going to see a change, it's going to be a shift. It's going to be so powerful, man, you know, that these young people are going to really carry it out. I just believe that. That's just where I'm at with it. Because other than that, it wouldn't be no need me hitting the streets like I have done for many years. And, Pastor Doctor, you know that that's, you know, something that's motivating to me. You and I have been out there, you know, and I thank God for what you're doing and everything. But, yeah, it's right there where 372 said, meeting them right where they are and present something to them of righteousness and let them see that it's something like hope that's available. You know, because other than that, they're doing the same thing over and over and over again, and it kept in their mind. They're not.
Right.
So
let me reiterate. Hold on one second, 372. I'm coming right to you. Let me reiterate the fact that the whole purpose of starting this educational series is in recognition of what Pastor was talking about. We bring experience to the table, and we understand. Now, we're not just talking about Nashville, Tennessee, where we're based. We're talking about a national problem.
Yeah.
And we understand that there are others out there who have experience and information, and as we share this, we're in a position to understand the root cause and the proper methods of solving those things. So we bring experience. It's not like we didn't think about this. And we're not aware of what's going on, but we want to share your experience and ours as well. Go ahead, 372.
When you get
done
with
her, hold on, Nicole. Go ahead, 372.
I was just gonna say too, and I think as a people, and my focus is not just on the Black community. However, that's where I reside, but for anyone that's trying to overcome and be restored or be rejuvenated, I personally believe it's not written in the books, but it's my opinion that you cannot succumb to pain, hurt, and frustration. If you focus on that, you won't get nowhere. You won't get anywhere. You just be hurt and upset and in pain all the time.
Okay.
Good point.
All right.
Very good.
All right. Nicole, right quickly, go ahead, darling, then we're going to transition to our last segment of the show.
I want to say this, and I'm going to be honest, because we got some people, and I'm going to say this out of honesty, because I do a lot of research. A lot. First of all, we got some kids out here that's hungry for an answer, for leaders. I'm talking about leaders. And they really want to get it right. We got kids out here asking what's the answer to GED and stuff like that, and they rappers. And you would think they the worst of scums of the earth because you look at them that way. First of all, I do a lot of research, baby. I do a lot of research. I don't sit here and just talk the talk. I walk the walk. I see I go in the worst of the worst because that's what God did. You know, that's what kind of God I serve. I don't serve a God that just want to say, oh, I'm saved and sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I don't want to be bothered with this and that. No, I serve a God that said, I'm going down to the sins. I'm going down to the down. I'm going down to the get down. I'm going to find out what's wrong. I'm going to find out the cause and the root. You know what I'm saying? What kind of God we're supposed to serve. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We're supposed to serve a God by understanding. We're supposed to serve a God that really, really wrote his words in that book and that meant a lot.
Yes.
And that means
yes.
he went down to hell and had to take the keys from the devil to get us back to back to where we needed to be. So that means if he went down to hell, we have to go down to hell too sometimes. And that's what's wrong with us now, because we get too high to society and we're not going down to hell. We're not realizing and understanding what we came from, the pit. We came from the disgusting mess we came out of. That's what's wrong with us now. We need to check. We need to check where we came from, what we've been through, what we have to go through in order to get where we are today. We can't look down on these people because they are where they are today.
So that's
the thing that I'm getting to, and I'm just saying this to say there is some genuine people that's out there right now, believe it or not, that's looking for answers. And they're looking for leaders. And they're going to get the wrong type of leaders if we real leaders don't step up.
All right. So your point is well taken, Nicole. Your point is well taken. We appreciate that. Let me do this. I'm going to go and we're going to come back. And I promise we're within our last 30 minutes to offer tonight some steps toward resolving this issue of this present-day fight that too many, I believe, good young men engage themselves in that only leads to self-destruction. Historically, there's a lesson to be learned about fighting from those in the past, but all they've learned is how to give in to the immediate impulse and drive of fighting that leads to immediate self-destruction.
Amen.
After this brief break, we'll come right back and we'll begin to share that with you. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We have on with us our regular panel, Pastor Ricky Waller, Sister Nicole, and 3072, who's joined us as well. The number to give us a call, you still have a few minutes, 657-383-0944. 657-383-0944. You can join the live conversation here tonight for the next 30 minutes or so. When we come back, we'll share with you some steps, offer you some solutions. All right.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
Again, you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. When we left, I promised to share with you some steps that will undoubtedly lead to success for at-risk young men who find themselves not benefiting from the history of fighting on part of Afro-Negro men, but only causing further self-destruction. Be you a mother who's singly raising children, a mother with a husband or a father by himself, or a grandmother, auntie, someone that just cares, consider this. Now, my faith guides all of my actions, and accordingly, I share this with you. In the text, Proverbs, the 19th chapter, in the 18th through the 20th verse reads, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." I'm coming back to it in just a second. That's number one. Number two, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Number two, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Number three. Now, three things I want to point out to you. It's important that at an early age, can we go back like Nicodemus was said and go through your mother's womb? No. But even if you are 25 years old and you haven't learned how to conduct yourself and discipline yourself, guess what? You've got to go back and learn that lesson that you missed. Yes, you do.
Right.
Yes, you do. And you have to, if your parents didn't chase you, you have to chase yourself. But when we catch them early, it's important. Some people don't think their children need discipline. They want to let them run wild and be happy and free. No, if you don't discipline them early, when they grow up, they'll grow up like a wild weed, and they'll become a problem to you. They'll become a problem to you. I'm not suggesting you always have to use physical punishment, but you have to discipline yourself as a parent or a guardian and make sure you walk circumspect in front of them. All right?
That's true.
When you do that, there's hope for them. And let not their crying and their, he's such a cute little baby. Wrong answer. You got to walk it like you talk it. And what you say, you got to back that thing up. See, these young guys are running the streets because the law allows them freedom and time and opportunity to hang themselves by the rope that's been given to them.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? Now, it's important that those of us that are serious and concerned that we not play games and that we not hasten or we not hesitate, I should say, to acknowledge these things. All right? That's one thing. So today we got to teach these young guys when we catch them, Pastor. We catch them on the street, right, Pastor Wallace? And we take them in that 6x6 room I've been talking about for a long time. And look here, forget the dim light. Turn the light out. Put your arms around and tell them, look here, son, you're out of control. Now I want you to look through the darkness and find the light with me. Tell them, look, man, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment. When your anger, when your frustration, your humiliation, and your drive to want causes you to lose sight on what's real, and you can't discipline yourself.
Amen.
You find yourself, your wrath will cause you to suffer great consequences.
Amen.
If not, thou deliver him. If you don't set him free from that, Pastor, I'm in that room now with him. Understand what I'm saying? You got to do it over and over again until somebody stop him. See, if you don't whip his tail at home, when he get big enough, he tell the police, I ain't going. Guess what's going to happen to him? He might get killed. That's what we want to avoid. Are you walking with me? Number three.
Well, Pastor Dockery.
Hold. Let me finish this thought then. Don't lose your thought, 3072, okay? Don't lose your thought. Number three, hear counsel. Now, I have found in my 21 years of pastoring and my other vocational experiences as an educator, as a correction officer, is that a lot of people do not, I said do not, accept wise counsel. And it causes them to be in demise. The text says, hear counsel and receive instruction.
Right.
I don't care how grown you are. If you were in, if your life was all together as you think it was, you wouldn't be messed up like you are and facing the negative consequences. But if you receive counsel and you hear instruction, thou mayest be wise in the end.
Yeah,
go ahead, 3072.
Well, I was just going to say, you just hit on, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I was
we
just
can hear you.
Say that you. I'm trying to talk. I was going to say that you just hit on something really good. You pointed out a good point that I was trying to point out earlier with the wrath and you being so upset with your circumstances being what they are. A lot of times, if you listen to our young people, you know, they're so upset with the law, with the rules of the world, with this and that.
There's right. actually nothing wrong. In the Bible, there was instruction. There
right.
was structure. There was rules. There were things that you went by a certain way. That's supposed to be. That's supposed to be. But we're so, and I ain't going to say we because I'm not, and I know a lot of beautiful black men that are not rich, they're not prominent, but they're great men. But
sure.
there's a lot of people out there, men and young women in the black community, that
sure.
only focus on, it seemed like, trying to point out what's wrong with the system rather than making things right for themselves.
It's true. It's, they telling the truth. First of all, I would say this.
Hey, Nicole,
hold on one second.
Let her finish, and then we'll come to you, okay? Let her finish her thought.
No,
I'm done.
No. Okay, I was finished.
Go ahead. 3072, I think you want us to finish your thought. Then we'll go to Nicole.
Y'all older folks. That's me why they don't listen to y'all.
Okay. Hold, Nicole, if you don't mind, let's be respectful of one another, okay, in our conversation. We want to hear what you have to say, but let's give her an opportunity to finish her thought. And if you have some other idea, we'll be happy to entertain that, okay, if you don't mind. 3072, I'm very interested in you finishing your thought, if you will.
Yeah, and I was just saying that now that's like so common. That's part of the things behind the cop killings and all of that. All of this is just becoming a major, huge, unnecessary battlefield. Yes, we know that there's racism still existing, prevalent in the world today. Yes, we
okay.
know that people are discriminated against every day. Yes, we know that there's poverty in the projects, in the hoods. Yes, we
right.
know there's brothers out there selling dope. We know all of these negative things that exist. And they know
right.
that exists because they're a part of that world. However,
no.
for them to sit up and blame the rest of the world for their problems is not right. It's unequally as wrong as somebody else is putting it, as it's not for people that's not living that way, like they doing something wrong by trying to tell them the truth about
yeah.
their wages of sin. That's death. That's imminent
right.
death.
Yeah.
That's so, I mean, we got to be real for real. I'm not going to
sure.
tell you that it's okay to go and cop weed and I'm going to ride with you. I don't smoke
right.
weed and I don't buy weed. I'm not going to ride with you to do that. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm not going to turn my head while you do that.
And look, 3072, I'm not going to tell you it's okay for you to prostitute your sisters either.
I'm not going to tell you that.
I'm
never
not going
to
tell
get
you,
close to you.
It's,
I'm
it's
never
okay
going to do
you to
that.
Go in and shoplift and loot a store either.
And
I'm
not
going to
tell you that
parents.
The police was wrong, that the police was wrong for arresting you. I'm not going to tell you they was wrong. They was dead ass right.
Well, okay. All right. This is Talk Straight. I guess you're talking straight to us tonight. But the truth of the
I'm
matter
sorry.
Is.
Sorry. Excuse me. I didn't mean to be disrespectful. I'm sorry for that.
That's all right. When what your point is, here's your premise, is when you or anybody else is in order, we set ourselves up for being able to protect and defend that order. But when you're out
Thank
of order,
you.
When you're out of order, maybe you don't know you're out of order. And that's my whole point. What the text is telling us in Proverbs, the 19th chapter, verse 18 through 24, is we've got to talk to sons and let them know, first of all, you're out of order. It's not too late for you. Here's how you get yourself back in order. It's hope for you.
But when you got people out there supporting their disorder by telling them that they have a right to be upset, you
yes.
should be angry.
Yes.
Yeah, you should rebel. You that's not
okay.
helping anything. That's not helping.
And Pastor, 3072, Pastor will tell you it's a lot of great grown folk in position of influence that encouraging
Amen.
This destructive mentality.
Amen.
Yeah.
See,
Amen.
And that's problematic. That's problematic. Let me try to go to Nicole here for a second. I think she was trying to say something, and we don't want to overlook her. Go ahead, Nicole.
Manipulation. manipulation is going to take over because you are so manipulated by everything. Everything you manipulated about is because you don't know what you're talking about. You playing old school. You playing fool. You playing cool. You playing dude. You are playing. Woo! And you playing real cool. I like you. Let me rub your body. Well, let me rub your body some more because you're a statue. You're a real good statue. You're a real good liberty.
So who are we
you're
talking about?
Let me break it down. You're a real good liberty. You're a real good statue. You're a real good standards. You at real good ease. I love everything about you. But when you get through, I'm going to use you and dog you like I've been doing from day one.
Hmm.
Ooh.
Does that sound like the black way? Hold on. Let me be honest with you. That's not the black way. No, 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 no. Let me be honest with you. That's not the black way. It sure ain't my way, and I'm black and they come. No, no, no. Let me tell you something. Look, you can call me whatever you want to call me, black, African American, voodoo, Egypt, whatever you want to call me. When you get through,
I came from one God, one faith, one baptism. And God do not reign on nothing but the just and the unjust. And you know what? I don't just unjust. All of that black magic. You know, you gotta get deeper than you think you gotta get. You gotta go deeper than you think you gotta get. Cause you got to really analyze this situation. This situation is way over do in its way of authority. First of all, you got a lot of high people in a lot of high places, in a lot of high seats. And this seat is deeper than you think it is. And before you get in this seat, you really got to know the seat. And if you don't know the seat, you need to move your feet. You need to move I'm serious. You need to move your feet. Because why? For the simple fact, these are recognized for the people that was in the trap. That was in the slam, the bam, the ma'am, everything. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ham, whatever. Thank you, Abraham, Lincoln, whatever. I'm serious. You got to get deep. You got to go deeper than you think. You got to do your research. You got to do your homework. You got to do your army. You got to do whatever to protect your vest. Because when he tell you, put on the army. I mean, put on the vest. When he tells you put on the vest, I'm serious. You got to put on that vest.
Okay.
First of all, when he said the weapons of warfare, I'm telling you, you're talking about some serious weapons of warfare, man. You're talking about some stuff that is too simple to elementary.
Okay.
I'm serious. We're talking about this.
So,
and everything that you thought, but I'm trying to get off into the real facts of life.
Okay, Nicole.
Let her talk, please. I want to know. This is going on in life.
It's a gangbang.
Nicole, hold on 1 second. I appreciate what you're saying. But we want to try to stay focused and on topic here, all right?
We stay focused, sir.
We want to stay focused and we want to stay on topic. I appreciate what you're saying. And everybody, we allow you to share your ideas and your thoughts, okay? As the facilitator of our dialogue, however, it's important that I make sure that we can keep a clear thought, and we're all on the same sheet of music here, okay? So I appreciate what you're saying, Nicole. If you will just bear with me, though. We got about 10 minutes. We got about 10 minutes to go.
Okay.
And there are some other things.
I'm going
to
cut out early. I thank everybody for their participation to the show.
Thank
love
you
everybody.
For
I got to get up for work in the morning. All right. God
thank
bless
you for
everyone.
Calling 3072. We appreciate you anytime.
Bye bye. Good night.
All right.
And so, again, what's important is there are a lot of people in the world, and Pastor, as we open this dialogue, you'll find that there are people all over the country. We had a brother call from Richmond, Virginia. Gave some very important information the other night, did he not?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to recognize that everybody that called has some value and perhaps have a position that is driven by their experience. I recognize that. I recognize that. But please understand, as the facilitator of our dialogue and conversation, it's important that I play traffic cop here and keep everything in order. So we don't want to shortchange anybody, but we certainly want to make sure our conversation is meaningful. It's being recorded and others are listening, and we invite you to call us here and share your thoughts and your ideas. But let's be clear. Let's be clear. As the facilitator yet again and the traffic cop here, we're going to make sure we stay focused. Pastor, I want to give you an opportunity, though, to kind of bring a little closure before we leave here tonight. You were saying some things that were very key, and I recognize you as an author who have written down your experiences relative to this whole idea. If you're just listening, tuning in to us, we've been talking from the topic from the fight over slavery, and that was from 1775 and 1863 when black men fought to be free during the Revolutionary period, as well as doing to end slavery. But now we're talking about how young guys somehow have learned to fight one another over senseless things. And more importantly, and I can tell you from experience being a black male all my life how to do some of those things, because I've been a party to some of what we're talking about. But Pastor Waller, go ahead, if you will, give us a little closure here on this thing. We definitely want to hear from you in that regard.
Yeah, as I was thinking, Pastor Dockery, as I was meditating on the thought of what you were sharing earlier about a man of great wrath shall
mm-hmm.
suffer punishment.
Yes, sir.
And when you do punishment, I mean, that's a powerful tool of the enemy, I would believe. It says,
mm-hmm.
for if thou deliver him,
mm-hmm.
yet thou must begin. And that's the thing, how powerful the wrath is, you know what I mean? In other words, you got to do it until they get it. And then we talk about here counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. And see, that's what that's what they're seeking, man. And because of that, I like to share, you know, with the audience as well. Here it says, pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me. Now I'm in strength. You know, see, so that's where that great wrath came from, the net that they set before us, you know. I just want to thank you for sharing that, because if you bring forth some great counsel, you know, but you got to hear it and then receive instruction.
Pastor, can I stop you for a second? Hold your thought.
Sir.
You know what I realize? When the guys in the street, they can't hear no counsel, man. They got too much freedom. So they need to be pulled out of that destructive, triggering environment into a place where you can talk to them, man, and give them that counsel.
Right.
And where they don't feel like they're in control. You have to limit their control and their freedom so they can hear you.
Exactly, because the net has been laid privately, you see.
There you go.
And when you set a net, you know, to do harm, and you do it privately, then where are we going to get the great counsel from, man? I mean, we have
Watch
to
out.
Be able to recognize, you know, that there are some people out there that got in the trap that wasn't trying to get in the trap, man.
No,
you
they
know,
wouldn't.
There are some people that discovered that I don't even know I'm in a trap. You see, so you got a lot going on right there, man. And so I just thank God for that information right there that you brought forth, talking about hear counsel and receive instruction.
Right.
That's amazing within itself, you know.
And look, let me say this, Pastor. What we can do as a community through our churches and other civic organizations is we can set up the environment and create the proper therapeutic environment for us to snatch them off the streets. See, churches are closed almost 4 or 5 days of the week. Snatch them off the street with training and guidance and give them the counsel that they desperately need. They've grown up thinking they've grown and they're in control and don't realize you are on a path, a primrose path to self-destruction. Somebody's got to snatch you, save you from
Man, goodness, that's good input right there, man, because, you know, you're putting it right where it needs to be at. Yeah, the Word of God also says that the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. See, and see, so that they've been lied to for so long. I was lied to, but you've been lied to. We've been lied to for so long that it makes it seem like the lie is the truth. You see, that's that pit right there, man. That was laid privately for people to not never realize that the truth would make us free. And, you know, that's what it's all boiled down to, man, tapping into the truth, get free and live life and know that self-destruction have no more room to be in the atmosphere where we dwell. You know, once we get that truth, that's what's going to take place.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just do believe that. And that's what we deserve.
And really, the truth of the matter is, here's the truth that's going to make us free.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to stop making excuses for our people to continue on a path of destruction, especially
without
we know they're on that path. We know they're on that path. We know what the end is going to be. Sister Nicole was talking. I was just talking to young cats this week. I know where the end is going to be. I ain't got to figure that out. I ain't got to research. I know where that's going to be. You understand what I'm saying? And they don't need me sugarcoating and telling you no lie about it. Now, here's the question. Will you humble yourself to instruction and wise counsel?
Right.
That's
you got to humble yourself.
That's it.
Yeah, you got to humble yourself to get it.
Yeah.
You know,
there you go. Let me pass it before we leave. We got 2 minutes. Let me recognize Brother Gordon, who's been watching us on Facebook, and Sister Shelton, pretty lady. Sister Shelton been watching us. As well as Merrily. And I believe Merrily is out of Jamaica. Welcome. Thank you guys for tuning in to us. And feel free to respond to the conversation thread on Facebook even after tonight. I'll be happy to entertain your thoughts there. Pastor, we got about two minutes to get out of here. And so what I want to do in these last 2 minutes is to encourage our callers, listening audience, basically, join us. Go to my website, www.bfcinstitute.com. We can use your financial support. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we're aiming to take our conversation face-to-face on these cities that we've identified. And last year we talked about them, Chicago, we talked about Miami, Florida, we talked about New Orleans, we talked about Houston, Texas, Detroit, St. Louis, Columbus, Mississippi, where we've already started much of our work. We've talked about others such as Birmingham, Alabama, and I think I said Detroit, Michigan. And so those are some – it's on our website, those things, www.bfcinstitute.com. We'll be back next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m., Lord willing, and we will share another historical – lesson here at Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Pastor Wallace has been with us. We thank Nicole for joining us and 3072 as well. And we invite you to join us next week. And give us a shout-out on Facebook, and we'll be happy to entertain your thought there. With that, we're going to leave with this song.